Welcome, everybody, to the Stoke It Up podcast, a podcast encouraging you in your journey with God. I'm Alan Stoddard, and I am your host, and I'm here today with Trey Kent to talk about prayer. Trey has been the senior pastor at Northwest Fellowship in Austin, Texas, since 1993. And what I love about this is, 1993. Did I get that right, Trey?
Yep, 30 years. 30
All right,
years.
And he has a Master of Divinity from Oral Roberts University and a Doctor of Ministry from Fuller. I love that because it's so different education. It's a variety. I love that. I did Southwestern, but then I did Gordon Conwell, and I love that. He is the proud husband of Mary Ann and grateful father of daughters Lindsay and Christina and son-in-law Nick. And I love this off your website. It says, doting grandfather to two amazing grandsons, Samuel and Levi. In 2009, God led Trey to launch the Unceasing Prayer Movement, mobilizing churches to pray 24/7 for unity and revival in Austin, Texas. And so today, about 100 churches in Austin pray 24/7 for the city to be transformed. And so I've always wanted to interview Trey Kent. Pastor, thank you for coming on the Stoke It Up podcast.
Thanks, Alan. We've been fans of each other online, and now we get to see and be on the podcast together. I'm so fired up.
Amen. Amen. Well, we want to talk about prayer. Your book, City of Prayer, I read it and I love it. I am encouraging everybody who's a leader, especially, or pastor, to get this book and want to talk about prayer. Prayer is so needed with the release of the Jesus Revolution movie. There's a real interest in revivalistic things. I think all of us would agree that the church in the West especially needs a move of God and a unity around praying. But let me ask you this, Pastor. Let me ask you this. Tell us the story of how prayer got moving there in Austin, because I've been hearing about it, and there are things happening there that aren't happening in other places.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we started our church 30 years ago. So I had 15 years of planning a church, just a normal church. You know, it's hard. Church planning, pastoring, like hundreds, thousands of pastors are doing it. Some are listening today. I'll tell you what, this was crazy. We were on a prayer walk. It was midnight. My wife and I were just walking through our neighborhood praying at midnight, standing under a light pole, stopped for a minute to see where we're going next. And I don't know if people believe this, but God spoke to me and he said, Trey, wouldn't it be wonderful if 31 churches would adopt one day of prayer every month, and my city could be covered in prayer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year until Jesus returns. Now, when I got that call, it was crazy. I'd never heard anything like that. I don't even know what this is talking about. People praying night and day. Honestly, when I got back from the prayer walk, I was really excited about it, but I was like, is this even biblical? I didn't even know, is this in the Bible? And the Lord said, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And that's when I realized there's no way to pray without ceasing by yourself. We've got to have one another. And so for us to pray night and day, we have to have the body of Christ. And so that day, that February 17th, 2008, standing under that light pole has changed my whole life for the last 15 years. And now it's spreading across America and the world because it's such a simple model for churches to get their people praying.
So I noticed on the Northwest Fellowship website, which is northwestfellowship.com, I'll put it in the show notes for you listeners, but we were just talking about this. I noticed that you have a tab on the main website for prayer. You have prioritized prayer as a main thing in the church. If I were to ask you, how do you mobilize the people of the local church at Northwest Fellowship for prayer? How do you do it? Because I know pastors are going to be going, how do I do it? I think they want to do it. They need how.
So, Alan, it happened right after I got back from that prayer walk. I said, I don't know what this means, but if we're supposed to mobilize the church to pray every day for the city, then my church is going to start, and we're going to take one 24-hour day every month, and we're going to mobilize as many people as we can to pray all day and all night for the city for one day every month. So that right there was the game changer for us, because I realized immediately that the prayer army of the church, the intercessors for the church, aren't a few prayer warriors, but it's everybody. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. That's who the church is. That's our identity. And I think the church in America and the world's lost our identity. We're a house of prayer. And so once you pray, God will lead you to do what else you're supposed to do. That classic prayer saying is, you can do more than pray once you've prayed, but you can't do more than pray until you have prayed. And so for us, we said, what we're going to do is I said to our church, somebody's going to pray at 2 a.m. Someone's going to pray at 3 a.m. And I think our vision of prayer in most churches have been too small. We say, would you just please come to a prayer meeting? But when you say, we need some men to pray overnight, we need some young men to pray overnight, we need some people that are praying during the day, we need every hour covered. That's our day where we're launching the prayer army out of our church. And we weren't a prayer army. I mean, we had no prayer strength, zero at the time. But we says, we're doing this. And so Marianne and I are going to take midnight. Who'll take 1 a.m.? Who'll take 2 a.m.? And so we took the fourth Monday. And we just said, on that Monday, we're praying for 24 hours. And then I started casting the vision to other churches. And it took me 3 pastors meeting. For some cities now, it takes more. Doesn't matter how long it takes. You know, it had never been done that Austin, Texas. Can you believe Austin? I mean, it's a weird place.
Right.
But prayer got launched in 2009. And we've had over 100,000 hours of prayer over our city that have been night and day from the local church. Normal people that have normal jobs are getting up and praying for their 24 hours, and then they pass it to the next church, they pray 24 hours. So the goal of this, Alan, is not just covering your day in prayer, but it's building a culture of prayer. That's the win. Culture means that it's a part of the lifestyle. It means you don't have to call a program to do it. The culture means it gets into the families. It gets into the marriages. It gets into the elder meetings. It gets into the staff meetings. It gets into the people so that we literally become that house of prayer.
Wow, that's awesome. So you're saying you started with one 24-hour day a month.
That's it.
Did I say that right? One 24-hour.
Yeah, 120. And so we found any church in America can do that. It doesn't even matter if they're a small church. I mean, some we've had house churches. We even had 2 prisons join in. Prisoner.
No kidding.
Yeah. And then we have a pro-life movement, a group that's not even a church, and they do it. So anybody can do it. But what it does is it says, we're all a part of this. See, in the past, when we've launched a movement or tried to get intercessors for our churches, we've just relied on, you know, like 6 little old ladies. And that's wonderful. My mom was one of those. In a mega church, the whole church was being prayed for by 6 little ladies. But I realized that's not the best. The best is when the whole church is mobilized to pray. And that's what that one day a month gives you the opportunity every month to say, we need everybody signed up. So here's what I did, Alan. I said, would you take that hour for the rest of the year? So I'm asking you for 12 hours this year to pray for Austin, Texas. So once a month, you're going to pray for that hour. And then next month, too. And then every month as it came around the Sunday before, I'd say, we need more people signed up. We need more people signed. So I kept trying to get the people signed up. And I had the core people, the 24 that had signed up to cover the hour, and now I'm trying to build it. What you're doing there is you're building a culture of prayer. 90% of the people told me, Pastor, I've never prayed for an hour. And I said, well, you will be able to, because we're going to give you a prayer guide, a very simple prayer guide that's out of the scriptures. You can just pray for, and you will. Most of them said, it was amazing. It's incredible. It's changed our church. It's changed our city.
No kidding.
And we're seeing it change people around the nation.
Where is that prayer guide?
So we have a simple prayer guide that we developed. You can see it. It's on AmericaPraise.org.
Okay.
It's on there. And then we have churches. We have like 6 or 7 prayer points we encourage churches to pray toward. But we say, add your others. You have unique things in your city that aren't the same for our city. So what's the big, you know, if you surveyed 100 Christians in your city and they said, what's the biggest need? What would they say? Well, put that on there. Put that on there, because you're going to see God move and you're going to have a testimony. That's what happened here. So we got into praying for several years, and we have this huge lake. It's Lake Travis. That's our water source. And the water source, instead of being full, was 2/3 empty. It was 1/3 full. I mean, we're running out of water. And we got all these people moving into Austin. Austin has doubled in population every 10 years since I've been here.
Wow.
And so it's all these people are moving in. So the city council said, Lake Travis is going to be a dust bowl in a matter of years. What do we do? Well, we knew what to do because the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7 that if I shut up the heavens and there's no rain, if my people who are called by my name. So we went to the city council. We've never done this in the history of Austin. We went to the city council and said, can we declare a day of rain, a day of prayer for rain in our city? And they said, I don't know. So we went to the city council and they let us pray. I opened the city council meeting in prayer. Then Will Davis, one of our pastors in Austin, got up and said to the city council, we know why there's no rain in our city. It's because we, as leaders of the church, haven't done a good job leading. And we're sorry, but we're going to have a prayer meeting tonight and we're going to repent and God's going to send rain. You're going to see that lake get filled. So that night, 1,007 Christians came to Hyde Park Baptist Church with Pastor Kai Bowman was the pastor at that time. And we had 1,007 Christians gather. The media was all over it. They came. We had a pre-service prayer meeting and they kept interrupting us. They kept coming in. Can we interview more pastors? Because the media thought it was hilarious. Now, y'all are going to pray? Or did y'all bring your umbrellas? They thought it was so funny. And so we prayed that night and we went home. And the next day it started raining. And it started raining and it started raining and it started raining. And the lake needed so much water. I can't even tell you, millions of gallons of water. And in the lake needed to fill up 60 feet, it was huge lake. In one weekend, it filled up 30 feet from the rain in one weekend. And all of a sudden people started saying, God's answering our prayer. So from the time we prayed, 600 days later, we had another prayer meeting. The lake was full. The lake went from one third full and almost empty to full. In fact, it was almost overflowing. They had to open the floodgates because so much rain had filled. And so all of a sudden, pastors in our city, mega church pastors, small church pastors said, you know what? This prayer movement really, that matters for our city. Did you know what happened? They started telling the story. And so we had people say, I want to be a part of this. Because this actually does change our city, and it has changed our city.
Wow, that's exciting. That is so just amazing. I love hearing that story. I think that is that story in the book? I think it is.
It is. It is.
That is dynamite. Yeah. Pastor, so how did that bleed over to other churches once you started? How'd you get connected in community with other churches in Austin?
Well, what we did was we said, you know, we want to get together and we want you to pray for our city. We want to unify the churches of the city, because really there is only one church in many congregations, right? And so for so long, we've been functioning as many churches instead of one church. So we said, let's begin to change our city by as many churches as it can to adopt one day of prayer to pray for the city. And so that's your day. And so this unity, you know, the biggest win that we've seen in our city is the unity piece, is that pastors that were once kind of competitive with one another are now praying for one another, are for one another. We're celebrating one another, letting people preach in our pulpits and doing evangelism together. And so what we did, Alan, was very simple. I just called every pastor I knew to come to Northwest Fellowship. I got him a little box lunch and I put the calendar on it was just a January calendar. It was blank. And I said, God spoke to me that we're supposed to cover our city in night and day prayer. Would your church adopt one day to pray for 24 hours and pray, and then we could pass it? So after the first meeting, we had about 12 churches sign up. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad either. And in the middle of it was kind of crazy. A guy who's now one of my dearest friends, he raised his hand. And he said, Trey, I don't think every church is called to be a praying church like this. I don't think every person's an intercessor. I mean, he was like ruining my meeting before this movement ever started. And I said, no, we're called. And I didn't know what to say. And so on the way out, his friend who was pastoring Hope Chapel said, hey, Rick, why don't you and I split a day? You take half the day and I'll take the other half. And so Rick went and he got his church praying half a day. And he called me 6 months later and he said, Trey, I've got to have my own day because our church is lit up with prayer. And all of a sudden, Alan, he started leading his church in prayer beyond where our church was. because he, all of a sudden, he got awakened to the power of what prayer will do to awaken his people. And so they had a 9-month period where they prayed morning, noon, and night as a church, and they saw 250 people come to know Christ in that 9-month period.
Wow.
As a result of praying to a guy who didn't even want to do it. He was against it the first meeting. And so the second time meeting, next month, I called as many pastors as I could. I said, everybody bring a friend. And we got about a total of 20 signed up. And then we had a third meeting. I called, just kept bringing pastors in. The third meeting, we got 31 days covered. And we began January 1st, 2009, with 31 churches praying for Austin, Texas, each adopting one day of prayer. And that's how the prayer movement started in Austin. Now, the crazy thing, Alan, is the same prayer movement began in Bellingham, Washington, with Jason Hubbard, and we didn't even know it. It started the same day, the same month, the same year, with the same model, and we'd never talked to each other. Because I believe in 2009, God was saying something to the church. It's time for the prayer movement to go through the local church. It's time for the prayer movement to not go around the pastor anymore. It's time for the pastor to help cast vision and lead his congregation. He doesn't have to lead everything about it, but cast the vision to his church that we are a praying church. We are a house of prayer. And so on January 1st, 2009 in Austin, Texas, and January 1st, 2009 in Bellingham, Washington, we both began with the exact same model, with churches adopting one day of prayer every month and 31 churches covering the city in 9-day prayer.
Now, that is wonderful. That's man, I'm excited. So that all comes from off of America Praise.
AmericaPraise.org. Yeah, you can go to America Praise and you get all that information. The reason why it's America Praise is because we started it here in Austin. We have Austin Praise. You can check that out too, .org. But what happened was what was started in Austin, other cities wanted to do it. Other cities wanted to say, how will this work in our city? So Franklin Graham was coming to Austin. Billy Graham Association was coming to the Every Capital and doing a prayer meeting. I don't know if you remember that years ago. And so it was around 7 years ago today that he came to Austin. It was actually yesterday he came to Austin 7 years ago. And we did a prayer meeting at the Capitol of Austin. I was the city captain. We had 10,000 people came and prayed for our state. And after it was over, the Billy Graham representative kept flying into Austin to meet with me and Mary Ann, my wife. And I was like, what's he doing? We're pastors here. He wanted to learn about unceasing prayer. And he said, God's calling me to do this in New Mexico. And that was Brian Allered. And he was in Albuquerque. And so he launched Albuquerque Praise. So we went and helped him launch that. And so they launched Albuquerque Praise and saw some incredible things happen in Albuquerque. It's in the book. And then he said, God's calling me to leave Billy Graham and leave my church to help take this to America. And so now it's across America, different states, and across the world. Churches are doing this. Very simple model. It's very simple. It's not complicated. Churches just cover their day and mobilize as many people as they can in their church to pray for 1 hour every month for the city. It's dynamite.
Amen. I'm going to put the Austin Praise and America Praise website links in the show notes, everybody. And so you'll be able to go take a look at that. I'm sitting here looking it up as Pastor Trey is mentioning them. Let me ask you this. I've watched, and I want to come to one of these. You guys do these periodic prayer meetings where pastors in the community come together. How often do you do those? And what do those meetings look like?
So we do those every quarterly prayer meetings. And so here's what we found is that the fuel, this is Kai Bowman's quote, or Kai Bowman says, prayer meetings change the world. And so it's not enough just to have people praying in the local church. We need that. But the power of God is really unleashed on a city when the churches, the congregations leave their four walls and come to some place and pray together. So here's how we do it. We just did one a few weeks ago, and we had a prayer for revival. It was kind of out of the Asbury thing. We said, we want to see revival in Austin. So we had 15 pastors, 15 churches that joined together. We kind of focus it on different parts of the city because Austin's getting a lot bigger. So we're in the northwest part of the city. So we grab pastors from northwest part of town. Some of them are part of the prayer movement and some of them aren't. And so basically what we'll do is we'll have five themes that we'll go after that night. And they're all related to revival this time, awakening, unity, whatever they were. And so we have three pastors pray on each team. And so this very simple model, we'll have a couple of worship songs and then we'll have a team come up and they'll just engage the congregation. They'll all be crying out for like, God, send revival to our families. And those three guys will pray about it. And then the next team will come up, Lord, send revival to our children, or whatever the theme is. And then we'll sing another song. So there's worship and prayer going. That goes all night. And it is so electric. And sometimes we'll stop and say, hey, get in groups of three and pray for one another that you could experience awakening revival in your life and family. And they'll pray for each other. But the whole night is prayer and worship. It's a very simple model. In fact, we just finished writing some new chapters for City of Prayer, because the City of Prayer book that tells the story, really, you know, it's sold out or it's close to selling out. So we're going to have a new edition that's coming out soon. And it tells some of the newer stories, what we've seen in new cities. I mean, during the pandemic, we saw night and day prayer started in Abilene, Texas, you know, outside of Austin, 3 hours. And they've got 40 churches praying night and day there. We launched in Phoenix. There's 54 churches already started in Phoenix that are praying night and day, just started this last year. And we're seeing that Lexington, Kentucky, I've been up there twice. They've got 22 churches that are praying. I mean, these are things that have never happened in cities before. One of the big questions I get, Alan, is from pastors that are in smaller towns to say, how would this work in a small town? And I got a very simple idea for that. And that is, let's say you're in a town with just a 7 or 10 churches or 15 churches or whatever less. Have each church adopt one day every week and say, this is our day to pray for the city. And you're not trying to cover it 24 hours necessarily. You might, but you're just saying, we're going to pray two or three or four every week. We're going to pray for the city. And so if any needs in the city on Monday, you bring them to us. Any needs on Tuesday, you go to Pastor Allen. Any needs on Wednesday, and we're going to have seven churches that are going to begin to pray together. And then periodically, those seven churches, maybe every quarter, bring all your people together and have a prayer meeting. It can happen anywhere. It's happening here. It's happening regularly here.
Let me ask you this. In the church, in Northwest Fellowship, who do you have a prayer leader that's besides you? What does that look like as far as strategy?
Yeah, strategy. Yes. So here's what we ask is that pastors be the vision casters. So that means every month you have an opportunity to weave it into your sermon or to share from the pulpit that, hey, our prayer day is coming up. We want to get you signed up. Here's a prayer guide. Now, the prayer coordinator, they work alongside. They work to reach out to the prayer warriors and remind them about their prayer hour. They work to develop more prayer. They're kind of like your assistant to build a culture of prayer. What if every, you know, you said how rare it is for a church to have prayer on their website. But think about this. What if you got, as a pastor or associate pastor, got like somebody like lieutenant in your church, somebody that you're a captain for prayer, and you say your job is to help build a culture of prayer in our church. It begins with us getting people mobilized one day a month to pray for us. But then that's just the first step. The next step might be, you know, are we supposed to prayer walk our neighborhoods? Or, I mean, we started with this after this. We started doing all-night prayer meetings like once or twice a year. Because the more radical, the more people get involved. The smaller the vision, the smaller the buy-in. The bigger the vision, the bigger the buy-in.
I love
and
that.
That's why I went always said, we're going big and I'm going to go first. I'm going to go first.
I noticed on your website that you guys have a multi-pronged, I don't know what the right word is. You have different opportunities for prayer. You're not just going, hey, come to this prayer meeting. You guys have different Zoom calls.
Yeah.
How important is it for a pastor to change his way of thinking from prayer meeting to many other ways of mobilizing people for prayer?
I think that's brilliant, because we went to Brooklyn Tabernacle, you know, with Jim Cimbala, And we were all blown away, and everybody should do that. But we came home, we realized we're not going to be able to do that in Austin. We're not going to be able to pull off that, you know. So what would it look like for us? So because of Austin's diverse, people travel a lot, we decided we wanted to do mini prayer meetings, smaller prayer meetings, so people could really get involved. See, I don't like prayer meetings where people come and they're a spectator. I think that we are all the house of prayer. I always say there's no heroes in the prayer room except Jesus. He's the only hero. So prayer meetings don't necessarily need to be led. They need to be started. And sometimes you got to guide them, but most of the time people need to just be freed to pray. So that's why we decided we're going to do some in the morning. We're going to do some at night. We're going to do some on Zoom. We're going to do some in person. And we're going to allow opportunities for people to be a part of prayer and to pray together. And we encourage our people when they do their 24 hours of prayer on their day, even do Zoom, invite people to pray on Zoom. Because we found, Alan, that if prayer is going to continue to grow in a congregation, it has to be united. Without united prayer, prayer doesn't grow in the culture. So that's the biggest revelation I've had recently. When I've gone to all these cities, we've got to get people praying together. Because this is crazy, but think about this. Every revival that has ever happened in the history of the world began in united prayer. So you want to see your city change? Start praying together. You want to see your family change? United prayer. You want to see your Sunday school class change? United prayer. Two people. Didn't have to be 100. It could be two. In fact, most revivals that I've studied began with two or three people praying together. And so I want to say, this is how we change. It's spilled over in Austin to even neighborhoods now. So on Saturday morning in half a dozen or more neighborhoods in north part of the city here, men get up in the morning and go outside and pray together for their neighborhood. So this prayer movement is moving out of the local church and now into the homes, into the families, into the DNA of our culture to say, this is how we change our city through prayer.
Couple more questions. One's personal. Do you find yourself, and I'm really talking about myself, let me say that. Do you find that as a pastor and a Christian, do you find that prayer, sometimes you're like struggling with it? You have seasons where you're like, you know, you believe in it. You got to have God on it because you're scared that if he's not in it, it's going to be man-centered, but you struggle with the praying yourself.
Absolutely.
That requires 100%. A discipline, I guess I would say.
I think that's exactly right. You know, I think you just show up, right? You know, I grew up being an athlete. So my dad was a tennis coach. And so when you're struggling with, I was a tennis player, played college tennis. When you're struggling with your tennis, you don't stop showing up. You go and you work through it. And there's things, you get people to help you. But what I've realized is having a basic discipline with prayer, like for me, this is what I do. The minute I wake up in the morning, I'm not talking 5 minutes. I'm not talking 10. The minute I wake up in the morning, I start praying because I know if I don't. So the first 30 minutes to an hour, right when I wake up, I pray. Now, some people say, I got to get my coffee. I get it. Go get your coffee or whatever. But what I do immediately, I just have the Lord's Prayer as my model. And I just say, Our Father. And I stop and I just say, you're such a great Father. What do you want to say to me? And what do you have in your heart for me today? And then I'll just pray through the Lord's Prayer. I do that every morning. Some days it's very exciting. And some days it's very vanilla, but I just keep showing up and I keep talking to him. And the other thing I think is helpful for that, Alan, is what I said earlier, find someone to pray with. If you could find someone to pray with once a week for one another, you know, this is the best prayer model I found. It works so powerfully. You start with you and you say, Lord, would you begin whatever you're praying about? If you're praying about the kingdom of God coming, which is God reigning, God reign in me today. Where do you need to, God, where's the enemy attacking? Where do you need to reign in me? Then I go, Lord, would you reign in me in my marriage? Would you reign in Marianne and me, in my children? And then I go out to the next level. Lord, would you reign in my neighbors? And I start naming them. And then I pray, would you pray, work in our local church, in the local churches of our city? And then I go, would you work in Austin? So I just pray these concentric circles outward for our nation and the world and the nations of the earth. I'm telling you what, those are some of the most powerful prayer meetings I've ever had have followed that model. And you can do it. You can go down the road, whatever you're praying about. You can start with you and just begin to pray outward. And it takes you exactly where you want to go. That it starts with you and it goes outward. That's what revival, it starts with you and it overflows to more people.
I remember we read something years ago. I can't remember the name of the book. It's by John Franklin. He's a Baptist guy, and he wrote it on how to lead a prayer meeting. It was back in the 90s when our prayer meetings were horrible.
Yes.
And boring and just not engaging. And he said, he pointed out how Jesus, when he mobilized people from prayer, that when he said, when you pray, he was talking about a group of people, not you individually.
That's it.
And what I'm hearing you say is we're going to be more motivated for prayer when we do it in community.
Yes.
And I put myself in the right places.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying?
100%. Okay. Once again, Kai Bowman says this, and pretty soon I'm just going to say I said it, right? Because I've said it so much.
That's right. Hey, he go with it.
Yeah. There's two rooms of prayer. The inner room, you know, Matthew 6, go to your inner room and pray, and the upper room. Okay, Acts 1 and 2. Man. So we need the inner room and we need the upper room. So most Christians, I just read a statistic that Barna said 94% of Christians in America that pray alone, that they've never experienced praying with others. So think about that. So we're like flying from New York to California on a plane with two wings. But what if the pilot said, we got to lose one of the wings? Which one do you want to lose? Neither of them. Well, there's two wings.
That's awesome.
Inner personal prayer and corporate public prayer together. So I think the church, 90% of our sermons on this have always been, you need to pray alone, Alan, get up. And I think we do. But I think that that's going to be fueled by praying together on a regular basis. So they fuel each other rather than counter, they actually cause fire to go between the two.
Amen to that. I got to ask you one more question, Pastor, before we end the podcast. On your website, you on the prayer page, you have a Revival Cry School of Leadership.
Yes.
What is that all about?
Well, what that's about is exactly what we've been talking about. We want to mobilize every believer to learn to pray and to learn to share Christ with others. And I think I just met with a missionary from Indonesia, and I said, what's the difference between discipleship in Indonesia and discipleship in America? He said, discipleship in America is content-oriented and knowledge-oriented, and discipleship in Indonesia is obedience-oriented, where you say, we study today about Jesus healing the sick, and then we finish up and go, who in your world needs healing that you can go pray for this week? And everybody says, okay, then go pray for them. And then next week we'll come back and talk about it. And so they come back and they actually have done it. Now we don't do that. But so I tried to Revival Christ School of Leadership based on that to say, all right, we're going to come together and we're going to train you in prayer and evangelism, but then we're going to go do it. We're actually going to do it. And so the first class, there's seven tracks. I'm sorry, there's four tracks of 7 weeks. The first week we come in, and then we all go to the prayer room. So we study for 30 or 45 minutes, and then we go to the prayer room. And I said, everybody has to pray. You don't have to pray long. You don't have to pray loud. You just have to pray out loud. And each week, we just want you to pray. So we're teaching them to pray in the prayer room. And then the next week, we go out to the street corner right by our church. This is unbelievable. We stand on that street corner, and we hold up Bibles. And we have signs that say free Bibles. And Alan, since we started doing this about 8 years ago, we have given away 5,000 Bibles.
Wow.
At the street corner. And everybody in our neighborhood goes, oh, you're the church that passes out the Bibles. Well, the reason we do that is to bless people with Bibles, but also to help the people of our church that are out there say, you're not just a prayer warrior. Now you're on God's team sharing his love with people. The first time we did it, people started stopping. And the first night, a guy said, I was on my way to a drug deal, and I saw these signs, and I said, I can't go do this. Could you pray for me? And the second person that stopped that night said, I feel all alone. My mother's terminally ill, and I had no one to pray with me. Would you pray for me? Those are two people that stopped the first time we actually got out of the building. That was a game changer for us, because these are just normal people that have jobs. They don't stand on the corner and pass out Bibles. But we want to get them out. And the second track, we train them how to do evangelism. And then half the class, we go out and we go to apartment complexes and just share with people. Give them Bibles. Love on them. Pray for them. That's it's awesome. Very simple. Yeah.
The third one looks like leadership, becoming a servant leader. You were created the one you were created to be. And then there's a ministry tract for 1st and 2nd Timothy. I just think that's great. The reason why one of my mentors, I don't know if you know him, but Daryl Eldridge, he used to be the educational dean at Southwestern Seminary, and he discipled about 12 of us guys for 7 years. But I saw him recently. He was the president of Rockbridge Seminary. Some of you might recognize him from there. But he said this to me about a month and a half ago when I saw him in Galveston. He raised the question. He goes, basically, he says, we disciple a lot of things, but are we discipling anybody to pray? And I just, my heart sunk a little bit because I went, I don't do a good job at that just because I'm not being intentional. I know what to do. Yeah. I'm not doing it. So anyway, that's awesome. You guys take a look at all the resources in the show notes. There's so many more things I want to talk to you about, Pastor Trey, but maybe we can get you back on the Let's podcast again. Some other time to talk about the outreach. I bet you can just keep telling outreach stories.
Oh, yeah.
The purpose of the podcast today is to encourage pastors and leaders and any servant of God who wants to get aligned up with what God is doing in these days of our lives. And for churches, that means we need to really up our game in prayer. I don't think it has to be freaky. It's not meant to be legalistic, but I do know that there's intentional moves we need to make. And you can look at all the resources in the show notes, but we encourage you to get your churches praying. And now I want to ask you one more thing. I said one more thing, but one more. What about the Jesus Revolution movies? You see it?
Unreal. Oh, yeah. Unreal. And I've been researching into it and seeing how prayer and how all of this was just a major move of God. And I think God's ready to do it again. I think he is. It seems like the Asbury Awakening or whatever it was, God's wanting to do that in our cities with our young people. And that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing the next generation embrace this prayer movement. And that's what struck me so much about the Moravian prayer movement that went 100 years. Children were involved in that. And listen to this. This will blow you away. This is mind-boggling. But parents, I love this word, they would bequeath their prayer hour to their children in their will. So if you had 2 a.m. or 3 a.m., they would pass that on to their children. Or 4 p.m., whatever it was, you'd say, yeah, I know. But if you got 2 or 3 or 4 a.m., but your parents said, we've been doing this for 30 years. You're the next generation. And they give it to them. And that's how it went 100 years. No, you know, those people weren't living that long, but their children were embracing it. And so that, you know, Jonathan Edwards, a famous quote that prayer movement people have is that prayer's not anticipating or the prayer's not for revival. Prayer is the revival. So I think prayer really is part of the awakening. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. You haven't humbled yourself until you prayed. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. God said, I would hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land.
Well, amen. May it be so. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for Pastor Trey and all that you've been doing there in Austin. I've read about it and I've watched it online. And I just say thank you, God, for what you're doing. I want to be a part of what you're doing in these days. We want to be a part of what you're doing. So we pray for people who are listening going, I want to see that kind of thing. I pray you'll help them to take all the conversation. Let that be a motivation to stoke up strategy wherever that person is, and help us, Lord, to be disciplined to lean into these things in a culture that keeps us busy and away from this kind of stuff. But I pray, Lord, that we will pray more together, an outbreak of prayer in churches, praying for awakening in our nation through a revived church. And thank you, Lord, for Pastor Trey and his sweetie and the ministry there at Northwest Fellowship, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Pastor, thank you for coming on the podcast today, man. This has been dynamite. I'm all motivated. I'm ready to go attack hell. But it's good to connect with you. I'll see you at some point at Northwest Fellowship. For the rest of you, if you're in Austin, go to Northwest Fellowship and check it out. And thank you again, Pastor, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Alan. It was amazing.
Amen, brother. Thank you.